Welcome to Redmond Radio. I'm your host, Michael Domingo, editor of mcpmag.com and redmondmag.com, and I do thank you for listening. Here's what we'll cover in this episode for the week of February 11th. Windows 2008 released to manufacturing. A February Patch Tuesday preview. Google beefs up Gmail security. And some new members climb aboard the OpenID Consortium. Before we head to the first Redmond Radio news segment, let's take a quick break. Welcome back, and thanks for listening to Redmond Radio, the weekly podcast roundup of Microsoft news and other IT happenings. First, another thanks to everyone who listens to this podcast. Because you download, we continue to strive into the new year. And that means we'll continue to give away Redmond t-shirts to listeners in our weekly Redmond t-shirt giveaway. And as well as we've been doing the last couple of weeks, we'll continue to provide the secret word of the week, or in this case, the secret phrase of the week, for the TechMentor All Access Pass giveaway. Want to know more? Be sure to listen to the end of the podcast for details. Now on with the news. Here's what made headlines over at redmondmag.com. Microsoft's online advertising researchers will spend this year teaching computers to be smart about sticking ads into video clips and to be even smarter about targeting ads to specific web surfers. With its 2006 acquisition of Aquantiv, Microsoft gained a broader network of websites on which to sell ads and tools to help marketers buy them. A few of Microsoft's projects were aimed at helping advertisers get better at reaching their ideal customers online, particularly using search keywords. The company showed a dashboard advertisers could use to forecast the success of certain keyword advertising campaigns, and a system it says will make it easier for advertisers to think about key ideas rather than hundreds of individual keywords. Besides search, though, Microsoft is also hard at work on new ways for companies to advertise their brands to web surfers watching video clips. One example crunched a clip looking for the most appropriate stretch of time and spot on the screen for an advertiser's bug or logo. For example, if a car company wanted to show its logo for 10 seconds in the bottom right-hand corner of the screen, the program would find the 10 seconds in which the logo interferes least with the action in the video. Another used speech recognition to make a transcript of a video, then served up ads alongside the video. As the topics discussed on screen changed, so did the ads. The third program scanned a video for surfaces where ads or product images could be inserted later. That demo showed how the same frames could display a Coke ad one moment and a Pepsi ad the next without having to reshoot the video. Other experiments included an interactive shopping kiosk that used elements of Microsoft Surface, its next-generation touchscreen, to show ads and coupons in a computer program that helped marketers avoid accidentally putting their brand on a web page with distasteful content. As Microsoft makes progress on the ad-serving front, the takeover news is just heating up. Over the weekend, some reports leaked that Yahoo had rejected Microsoft's $44.6 billion takeover bid as inadequate. On Monday, Yahoo confirmed those reports, calling Microsoft's bid one that substantially undervalues the company. Yahoo's CEO Jerry Yang gave the company reassurances that if Microsoft doesn't sweeten the bid, Yahoo does have plans that it will make the company a must-buy stock in the months to come, as it makes plans to reassert itself in the online advertising market. Analysts predict that Microsoft will counter with a higher bid, and the company said it's even contemplating borrowing substantially against its credit for the first time ever in a company takeover bid. In more IT-worthy news, Microsoft last week announced the two of its most important products of the last decade, complete and ready to be shipped. Windows Server 2008 and Windows Vista Service Pack 1 were released to manufacturing, marking a dual milestone in the history of both products. It also means that Windows 2008 will be officially shipping by the global launch wave of enterprise products on February 27th. Others include Visual Studio 2008, released last year, and SQL Server 2008, which was recently pushed back to the third quarter. Windows 2008 marks the first major new release of a Windows Server OS since Windows Server 2003. It's also one of Microsoft's most tested products ever. A Microsoft press release stated that more than 2 million beta and evaluation versions were obtained. It's a significantly overhauled OS in a number of ways, most of which involve enhanced enterprise capabilities. Some of the more anticipated features are Windows PowerShell, Server Core, Network Access Protection, and the Hyper-V virtualization technology built right into the OS. The release of Vista SP1 targets compatibility issues, which Microsoft has high hopes for in that it sees enterprises more open to migrating to it as compatibility becomes less of an issue with legacy software. In our last bit of news, Microsoft's February patch release is slated to roll out 12 security fixes, 7 of them rated critical and 5 deemed just important. All of these 7 critical items, like most patches in recent months, are designed to stave off remote code execution bugs. The first critical issue affects all Windows OS versions with the exception of Windows 2000 Service Pack 4. Critical patch number 2 will be for Windows, Office, and Visual Basic programs on all OS versions, though only Windows 2000 SP4 and all editions of XP and Vista were labeled as critical. The third critical item is another Windows fix, specifically dealing with exploits that would affect VBScript and JScript language parameters on all versions but Vista. VBScript and JScript are used mainly by web developers working with Internet Explorer. The fourth critical in the critical group mostly addressed all versions of IE, fixing a problem in which the system was vulnerable to RCE-based intrusions. The remaining 3 critical patches deal succinctly with Publisher 2000 to 2003, the whole Office suite in Office 2000 SP3, and Word 2000 SP3. More details and news will be released this week on the official Patch Tuesday. And that's it for news from Redmond. Remember to listen to the very end of the podcast to find out how to enter the T-shirt giveaway and the Redmond Radio Tech Mentor All Access Pass giveaway. News from the wire next, right here on Redmond Radio. Once again, I'd like to thank you for listening to Redmond Radio. If you enjoy listening to this program and staying informed with what's happening in IT, please pass this show around to your colleagues. Before we get to the newswire, here's an update regarding what's online on the Redmond Media Group websites. Check out the February 2008 issue of Redmond Magazine, which gives a final walkthrough of Windows 2008 before the big launch event later this month. Over at Redmond Channel Partner, a deep dive into managed service providers, what they are, how they work, and how partners can profit by becoming MSPs. And finally, a reminder to listen all the way to the end of the podcast for details on how to enter our weekly Redmond T-shirt giveaway and Tech Mentor All Access Pass giveaway. First up on the wire, malicious flash banner ads have been surfacing on major websites including Expedia, Rhapsody, and MayoClinic.com in the last month, according to media reports. Users who click on the banners, which advertise a digital music service, a student dating service, and disk cleaning software, are redirected to websites that install malware. Sandy Hardmire, who writes Spyware Sucks, first reported the rogue ads in a blog entry January 28th, referencing a well-known malicious domain hosting site, securehost.com. The trail was next picked up by Trend Micro, which reported that the banners had to have made their way into the advertising supply chain by ad networks. Rhapsody.com first learned of the ads January 20th and removed them 4 days later. Having sealed the deal on the largest acquisition in its history, IBM has moved to show that it's already taken the reins of Cognos. At a press conference last week, IBM took the wraps off a slew of new products and services aimed at showing the linkages between the Cognos BI tools and IBM's data management, web services, and enterprise content management platforms, which embody IBM's information on demand strategy. IBM officially closed on the $5 billion acquisition of Cognos on January 31st, just 2 weeks after SAP took control of Business Objects, the market-leading BI vendor. SAP announced it will unveil its Business Objects roadmap on February 12th. Among the products rolled out by IBM, 10 vertical industry solutions focused in key segments including retail, life sciences, and public sector. IBM also launched a starter pack based on the Cognos BI platform, pre-developed templates for tying the Cognos BI platform with IBM's FileNet business process management software, and the IBM Dashboard Accelerator, which includes the new starter pack. IBM also will offer a variety of turnkey solutions that cover the IoD hardware and software stack. Somewhat related news, last week both IBM and Sun fleshed out separate virtualization visions. IBM announced a new strategy to market its Power6-based systems, complete with a less restrictive virtualization facility, to small and medium-sized businesses. It'll come in the form of PowerVM, the successor to IBM's advanced power virtualization hardware and software feature set. PowerVM is now available in an express package, which enables System P servers to run Linux x86 binary applications, unmodified and without recompilation. That's in addition to the bread-and-butter AIX and Linux on Power applications that the company has already been virtualizing. For Sun's part, they've announced new customers and product availability for its ambitious data center in a shipping container offering, the Sun Modular Data Center S20, which it once touted as Project Black Box. Project Black Box was actually unveiled about a year and a half ago as SunMD originally, which it billed as an instant-on modular data center, comprising all-in-one compute, storage, and network resources, along with high-efficiency power and cooling features. The idea was that it could drop-ship the box to any locale and provide canned data center capabilities. Today, Project Black Box is shipping and has four customers so far: Hanson Transmissions, Radboud University Nijmegen Medical Center, as well as the deployment of a second Black Box unit at the Stanford Linear Accelerator Center and Mobile Telesystems OJSC. Sun also announced the availability of new services intended to support the SunMD or Project Black Box deployments, including site preparation, installation, and testing. All right, we have two Google-related items to finish out the show. First, Google is adding more email security and storage products for businesses, services aimed squarely at improving its products for enterprise use and for competition against Microsoft. The tools build upon technology that Google acquired last year when it bought email specialist Postini for $625 million. The package of products are designed to weed out junk mail and potential viruses, as well as protect against leaks of confidential information sent through email. Google is also offering to retain email data for longer periods. And in our final item, it looks like the dream of single sign-on is getting closer to reality. Google, IBM, Microsoft, VeriSign, and Yahoo have joined a consortium that backs a common federated identity specification. The vendors jointly announced their membership to the OpenID Foundation's board on February 7th. The OpenID spec allows individuals to create one username, password, and other credentials for logging onto multiple websites that support the spec. Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates and Chief Research and Strategy Officer Craig Mundy first announced support for the spec a year ago at the 2007 RSA Security Conference. That's when Microsoft, Jan Rayn, SIP, and VeriSign said that they would work together to provide the interoperability between OpenID and Windows card spaces. And that's news from the wire in this week's episode of Redmond Radio. As usual, before we end this thing, I'd like to remind faithful Redmond Radio listeners, as we do every week, that you can win a Redmond t-shirt in my weekly t-shirt giveaway. To enter, just send me email with the new t-shirt giveaway phrase, "I want a t-shirt," on the subject line of your message to mdomingo@1105media.com. That's mdomingo at 1105media.com. And note the phrase is "I want a t-shirt," not "Redmond t-shirt" as it has been in the past. Entries not sporting the new phrase will be ignored. By the way, that address is also the same address to enter the Tech Mentor giveaway. If you want to enter both the t-shirt giveaway as well as the contest for the Tech Mentor Pass, just send one email with Tech Mentor Pass on the subject line of your message instead of "I want a t-shirt," and put this week's secret phrase, "Windows 2008 Tricks," in the body of your message. That's Windows 2008 Tricks, which you'll learn about in a special session at the conference. Tech Mentor takes place March 30th through April 3rd at San Francisco's Moscone Center, and it's the 10th anniversary of the IT event. Because Tech Mentor is co-located with the VS Live Developer Conference, that means the All Access Pass provides access to both events. The Tech Mentor contest runs until March 1st and will pick a winner on March 3rd among all valid email entries. If you want to enter via snail mail, you can also do that by sending a postcard with your name, address, and phone number to me, care of 1105 Media, 16261 Laguna Canyon Road, Irvine, California, 9216 Congratulations to Roger P., this week's T-shirt winner. Roger's entry also gets him a spot among only a handful of people who've entered the Tech Mentor contest so far. That's it for this episode of Redmond Radio. I'm Michael Domingo, and I once again want to thank all you listeners who continue to support Redmond Radio by streaming and downloading this program. See you here next week.